End of the week. It's the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels. As always, you can catch me on Mondays at 7 p.m. on the America Out Loud Network. I do a show there, Unleashed. And that is a five-day-a-week show. Each day, different hosts. I kick it off on Mondays, so you can go over there. As always, I do a weekly wrap-up with Greg Bolden on the America Emboldened show over on the America Out Loud Network on Thursdays, if you're looking to listen to it live on X, or you can listen to it Friday when the podcast is officially posted over there. So back in December or January, I said that I was going to start talking about the origins of mankind, specifically referencing a lot of Blavatsky's work, and it just has taken a different turn. There's just much more material out there than I had anticipated, or actually in the book itself. And I will say this, all of these elites, they lean towards this kind of, I guess, I wouldn't call it a religion, but belief system that is outlined with Blavatsky. Now, the problem with all of this is that what they are being taught behind closed doors through her work and variations thereof is completely different than what the basic person is taught all throughout school, all throughout college, and all the rest. Essentially, every type of mythology that you've heard about or that I've brought up in past podcasts, they believe it is genuine. And I'm one of those people, right? I'm one of those people that do say that, well, I don't think this is it for mankind. I don't necessarily believe that this is all there is out there, specifically with the origins, where we're going next, and all the rest. Just for an example, they bring up constantly the age of the Cyclops. And the age of the Cyclops is essentially what is the modern day mythology about giants being found everywhere. I lived in Arizona for a couple of years. I can tell you, I can show you, if we take an expedition out there, where there are megalithic monuments out there, where before all of this became really popular, I was looking at all these stone pilings, I was looking at all the erosion out there going, this doesn't make sense. These piles of rocks arranged in certain ways, these petroglyphs, it just doesn't go in with the rest of the landscape out here. So this must have been placed, something must have happened long, long ago, and all the rest. And you find out that all of that is essentially true. These people, these elites, the Blavatskys, and all the offshoots of theosophy and all the other Kabbalists out there, they genuinely believe that. And so, do you think they would teach something like that in high school, in college? No, because that would validate things like the Bible, and you can't have that going on. So I just wanted to give you an update. I intend to do a very good job, as always, being a professional broadcaster, in explaining the root races of mankind and all of that. I've been studiously going through the book, combing for quotes all over the place. I got my red pen, red gel pen, underlining all of the important sentences or fragmented segments, sentences. And I will tell you this much. It is pretty stunning where this could lead us. So I just wanted to give you an update, like I said before. Okay. So Chi-Chi is chiming in. She's very excited about the official announcement that I will be getting to the Blavatsky stuff, and I haven't forgotten about it. But the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, is now saying, guess what? We're going to have a global reserve currency, and it ain't going to be the U.S. dollar or the petrodollar. Chi-Chi. She is really hyped up about central banking digital currencies. Essentially, what the IMF is doing is they're creating something called the XC platform. And this is supposed to be going out there, making cross-border payments in central banking digital currencies easier for governments and central banks. So why is this important? It's important because it goes along with what we've said countless times about central banking digital currencies. This is a control mechanism, and it will force people to have their transactions monitored all the time. The credit card companies and the banks, they're already doing that. Greg Bolden did a show on this not so long ago, and there are a few articles that you can find. Wow, Chi-Chi is going nuts. A few articles that you can find that already discuss how they are giving all of us a social credit score already. about our transactions, how many times we take flights, what we're purchasing with our credit cards. This is all the reason why you should be using cash more often than ever. But why is this important? Because they're going to use the original sin concept. So you are the bad human. You are the person responsible for climate change and all the rest, even though they have more evidence now than ever that says the sun is responsible for climate change. And this is a natural process going on here that we can't control as mere humans. No matter how much salt San Francisco decides to spray into the atmosphere to try to reflect the sun's rays. So they're going to sit there and say, you're the problem with this. So if you need to have a climate lockdown in your location, we are going to lock you down. You can't leave. If you don't abide by us, then you will not be able to spend your cash more than 5 miles away from your registered address. So you get that. I'm not going to go through it again because I use the same examples all over and I'm tired of saying it. But here's the problem with this kind of initiative from the IMF. What this means is that the dollar's reserve status, meaning all of the transactions that nations engage in between member nations. So let's just say Brazil wants to buy something from Argentina, but they don't trust each other's currencies. So Brazil trades their currency in for US dollars. And then Argentina then purchases or allows the purchase to go through, accepts the U.S. dollars, and then converts it back into its own local currency. The United States, being the reserve currency in this situation, they get to skim off the top. That's why the dollar has maintained its status and all the rest. If you want to purchase oil, it's got to be done in U.S. dollars. That is going away with this kind of ledger, with this kind of central banking digital currency ledger that the IMF is going to control. And also the BIS is going to be involved in all this. So they want to implement this full scale by the end of the decade, which is when? Which is 2030. So this goes along the lines of the UN Agenda 2030 and how this is all going to be involved with getting these people or getting this agenda off the ground and basically locking us down into this stupid dystopian future that we talk about all the time. They're going to try to guilt you into abiding by all of these restrictions with these digital currencies. And it is going to be pulling at your heartstrings because it's the environment we're trying to save. It's the earth we're trying to save. It's the poor spotted owls out there. We can't let them die. Well, let me tell you something. And Chi-Chi is very... I don't know if you guys can hear this racket behind me. But it is something else. Very, very passionate about the environment over here. The Chi-Chi, the parakeet. So now she's looking at me and cocking her head as if I'm the one that's interrupting her. This is brilliant. Brilliant stuff. I wish I had a camera here. But I don't know if anybody saw this. President Mohamed Irfan Ali of Guyana in South America has decided to take the BBC to task. No, this isn't something you'd find on a pornographic website. This is the British Broadcasting Company. And they tried to guilt him into climate change. They said this. Actually, BBC's Stephen Secor, the interviewer, said this. Over the next decade or two, it's expected that there will be $150 billion worth of oil and gas extracted off your coast. It's an extraordinary figure, but think of it in practical terms. Here comes the guilt trip. That means, according to many experts, oh yeah, okay, experts in quotes, I would assume, 2 billion tons of carbon emissions will come from your seabed from those reserves and released into the atmosphere. And immediately, Ali said, hold the phone. He goes, let me stop you right there. Did you know that Guyana has a forest that is the size of England and Scotland combined? A forest that stores 19.5 gigatons of carbon. A forest that we have kept alive. So this is one of the major problems. This is the Achilles heel, well, one of the many Achilles heels, in the whole climate change nonsense argument. They only look at emissions. They don't look into how other environmental factors, like, oh, plankton, nobody talks about that, forests can recycle all of these emissions and do it fairly well, unless you're talking about a massively industrialized area that contributes to the local climate change, not a regional or even a global climate change. The leader even said, does that give you the right to lecture us on climate change? Because here's the other problem. The BBC host then decided to say that, did the rainforest give Guyana the right to release the carbon? Oh, yes. They all went around and they knocked on all of the trees and vines and plants and said, oh, I beg your pardon. Do you mind if we release these energy, the oil, the gas, and all the rest from the... I mean, how stupid does the BBC look in all of this? And of course they believe they're intellectuals. They're the ones that are going to lead mankind into the future. And they are the Ivy League people sitting in their ivory towers, making sure that us, the regular person, is abiding by their climate change religion. Thankfully, we've got people like this because it is becoming nonsensical. And hopefully somebody gets into the White House in 2024 or 25 when he's inaugurated that actually brings some sense into all of this. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, predicts that July, August, and September, they're going to be hotter than ever. Oh, you don't say. It's going to be hot during the summer. Thank you very much. I would never have known that, but thank you for clearing this up. Earth's issuing a distress call, said the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres on March 19th. The latest state of the global climate report shows a planet on the brink. I mean, we had Al Gore coming out this year, getting it wrong 2 decades ago. Saying, oh, that's it. We're at the end of the line here. Fossil fuel pollution is sending climate chaos off the charts. Sirens are blaring across all major indicators, he is saying. President Joe Biden is now saying that the climate is an existential threat. Let's face reality. The climate crisis doesn't care if you're in a red or a blue state. Oh, my gosh. Well, here's the problem. With all of this, we're now finding out that NOAA's records are a little bit off. I hate to tell everybody this. And how are they off? Well, the reporting stations are no longer there. And on top of that little issue, the reporting stations are still reporting in. Now, if the station ain't there, how can it still be registering data? How can people still be collecting the data if it is no longer operative? The United States' Historical Climatology Network has run across a few issues. Oh, they are physically gone but still report data like magic, said Lieutenant Colonel John Shuchuk, a certified consulting meteorologist. NOAA fabricates temperature data for more than 30% of its 1,218 USHCN reporting stations that no longer exist. He calls them ghost stations. So do you really think that climate change is occurring as severely as they're claiming it to be? No. Especially if you look at where the climate monitoring stations are actually placed. They are placed on in areas like, tarmacs, in the middle of cities, and they are getting readings in the middle of summer saying this is the hottest place ever. Well, let me tell you something. There is something like radiating heat off of blacktop in the middle of summer, smack dab in the middle of New York City. So yes, it's going to be hot. Why would you place a temperature monitoring station on a tarmac where there is no shade, where there's only asphalt, where there are jet turbines firing it up constantly, hour after hour, 24 hours a day? Does that make sense to you? Or does it look more along the lines that somebody is trying to put their thumbs on the scale? Ah, that's what makes more sense to me. And a lot of these climate change, climate monitoring stations, they cover large swaths of area. And in those areas that these stations cover, guess what? The climates are completely different from one end to another. So you're having these huge, huge swaths of land coverage. It's all saying the same thing. Oh, it's the hottest on record. I can promise you. I went to Mexico, right? We stayed at essentially the tip of the Yucatan Peninsula in Cancun. It was windy beyond all comparison to anything I've ever seen. Palm trees were basically horizontal. That's how windy it was. The skies, completely gray. Solid gray. Looked like New York. We said, enough of this. Let's go to another place. We did. 20 minutes south. Do you know what it was? Completely blue skies. The wind was pleasant. It was a balmy breeze throughout the whole place. So to say that climate is the same over a 100-mile swath, 150, 200-mile swath, like they're trying to do in the United States with NOAA, is absolutely moronic. And you can't do it. It is impossible to monitor something like that. And for the love of God, put a monitoring station in the effing woods away from a city where you can get a true perspective on what's actually happening in the climate right now. That's going to be it for me. Thank you very much. I'll be back next week. As always, I told you where you can listen to me elsewhere. And of course, Chi-Chi, you've been fantastic this whole time. I can't thank you enough for contributing to all of these issues that are extremely pressing in today's podcast. So that's going to be it for me. I'll be back as always next week. Gird your loins. Be the brilliant, lovable fuzzball that I all know you are. And I will, Chi-Chi, you're killing me here. Can't even focus. All right, I'll see you later.